So if you're new tonight or haven't been here in a while, Wednesday night is basically Bible class. So we get inside a specific book, break down some specific scriptures, we go into some details, and we try to apply it to our life as much as possible. So Wednesday night really is just a focus on the Word. The goal is to always have you out of here by 8 o'clock. Sometimes I fail at that goal, but most of the time I have you out of here by 8 o'clock. So tonight we are in Hebrews 5. So we're not going to start at verse 1. Verse 1 through 6 or verse 1 through 5 basically touches on what we ended with last week. So we're going to start with verse 7. And instead of me going through a bunch of scriptures, I'm just going to talk about verses 7 and verses 8 tonight. Now, when I was going over this today, this area of scripture just really rocked me. You know, sometimes you can be reading the Bible and some things you read, say, okay, I've read that before, or I know what that means. Oh, that's good, or whatever it might be. And then sometimes you come across an area of scripture and it just smacks you right in the face and it just wakes you up and you're like, wow, this is something. I needed this. God is trying to speak to me. And so these two verses today just basically nailed me. And I hope they touch your heart and they motivate some of you as much as it impacted me today. So let me go ahead and read it to you. Eric, I'm in the New King James Version. It's if you can throw up the New King James Version today, because it does make a difference in this area of scripture. I love what the New King James says and how he describes a certain portion of this verse. So it says, Jesus, that's my parentheses, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement, can you say vehement? With vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, that being God, and was heard because of his godly fear. The NIV right there, instead of godly fear, says reverent submission. Verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So this verse is really based off the topic of prayer. And so in essence tonight, we're really just going to talk about prayer. But I hope I can talk to you about prayer in maybe a different light than we've discussed it, or maybe you've heard it before. So this area of scripture is specifically talking about Jesus and basically how he prayed at times and how he was affected in the midst of his prayers. And the first thing that we come across is prayers and supplications. Now, oftentimes in scripture, these two words go hand in hand. It's basically it's a double statement of the same thing. So oftentimes when you come across scripture and it says supplications, it's meaning prayer. When you come across prayer and supplications, it's kind of two of the same thing. But at this one specific area of scripture, the words prayers and supplications is absolutely two different things. And the word supplication in its original form right here is the only time in the whole Bible that it's being used. Now, when you read the Bible, you come across the word supplications or supplication consistently at different times. But this type of supplication, what the Bible is meaning right here, what the Bible is describing about Jesus, is only used one time. And it is different than the typical word prayer. So there is a difference in this area of scripture in prayer and supplication, and it's very important to know this. Jesus did both of these. Now, if Jesus is our leader, Jesus is our example, Jesus is our shepherd, he leads us the way. If Jesus prayed and had supplications, it's very important to realize that we ourselves should also consider for us to be people of prayer, but for us also to be people of supplication in the context that this area of Scripture is talking about. Am I making sense so far? So when we come across prayer, basically it means the basic thing. It means to request with need. It means to talk about your wants. It means to pray things that you're seeking for, that you're asking for. It means to have entreat God or to entreat man. It's just basic prayer. You sit down, you kneel, you walk, whatever you do, and you pray. You begin to ask God for things in your life. You begin to ask God for strength. You ask God for help. You ask God for desires. You ask God for passions. You ask God to keep you strong. You ask God to have patience. Just basic prayer, and that's what this is meaning. But then when you come to the word supplication, this one-time use in the Bible is specifically talking about needs, and it also means to ask as if you would ask somebody for a favor. And when you really begin to get into the Hebrew and the Greek, and you begin to look at this word, it is always associated with, or when you look at the synonyms of this word, it is associated with intimacy and closeness with God. So what does that mean for us? How does that apply to our life? What does it really mean when it comes to what Jesus did? So we see that Jesus basically prayed basic prayers. But we also see that Jesus went deeper, and he requested from God, as one would ask a favor from a friend, for God to meet his needs. Have you ever gone to a friend, and because of your need, you asked your friend with all your heart, could you please do me a favor? And it was maybe not a typical favor. Maybe it wasn't something you asked all the time. Maybe it wasn't something that was just normal for you. But maybe you was stuck between a rock and a hard place. You didn't have nobody else you could go to. And so you went to this friend, and with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you cried out to this friend, and you were like, can you please do me a favor? I need you to help me. How many of you been there? You done that? Not talking about, hey, could you slip me $5 for a Big Mac meal at McDonald's? How many of you done that? All right? Or Taco Bell. Oh, hook me up with a bean burrito, brother. I don't have a dollar today. That's me right there. That would be me. I don't care for the Big Macs, but I love those bean burritos, boy. The more authentic, the better. I like those big old fat ones. That's about 8 inches long and about 3 inches wide, and it just oozes out with beans and cheese. What's it, brother? La Fonda. All right, all right. 60, yeah. That's a little different than a dollar Taco Bell bean burrito. Anyway, the point is this, is that it's really stating how Jesus interacted and connected with his God. He had these basic prayers, but then he had these supplications, these moments when he was desperately in need, and when he talked with God, he was asking if God would just do this favor for him in a desperate way. You don't really think of Jesus praying this way, do you? But we have to remember, and we talked about this last week, and if you was to read the first few verses of this chapter, Jesus was human like you and I, and Jesus suffered like you and I, and Jesus was tempted like you and I, and he went through the struggles and the trials and the tribulations, and he overcame the weaknesses. So we have to realize that there was times on his journey of faith when he was praying and he was asking, but he was praying and he was asking in the context of his humanity and not in the context of his divinity. When we think about Jesus praying, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to think about Jesus and his divinity in his prayer. Like Jesus being the Son of God, this divine being, and all he has to do is just say, God, would you help me? And boom, there it is. I never really think about the struggle that Jesus had in prayer other than the one time in the Garden of Gethsemane. But when you break this area of Scripture down, it shows that Jesus prayed those basic prayers, but it also shows that Jesus responded to God in desperation. And so what does that say to us? It says to us that we should have our basic prayers, but there is times that we should also go to God